the nature of humanity is that people can react to the same situation in many different ways. This is because their lives are motivated by various influences, which cause them to react and to act as they do. It is so easy to fall into the game of trying to determine why people act as they do. In this game we play, we tread the minefield of making the determination of motivation which drives another person. You know, this is almost an impossible task, for even the person in question may be unaware of what motivates them. Therefore, our judgments may be totally unwarranted. Not to oversimplify it, but within the discussion of motives and motivation comes a reality that human nature operates out of the system of rewards. Rewards are one form or another. Thus, rewards can be one of the system, the strongest influences in a person's motives. Some would say that rewards have no place in Christianity, and that you do good for the sake of doing good. This is to say that virtue is its own reward. This may sound good and virtuous, but it denies what Jesus said over and over and over again in the Gospels. Rewards were a part of his message. Just within our lessons tonight, we see this. He speaks about the receiving of rewards through almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus never wavered from attaching the outcome of rewards for living a life motivated out of love. He clearly made this point when he stated, "And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." A cup of cold water. To deny the reality of rewards in the revelation through Jesus is not only to deny the scriptures, but it is to deny any kind of justice within the nature of God. If there is no reward for living a life as a follower of this Jesus, then the end result is no better than one who lived a completely opposite life. The good would end up in the same state as those of evil. Then where is the reality of the kingdom of heaven or the eternal life in God's love? Accordingly, God would be unjust and unloving. So what about these rewards that Jesus proclaimed? You know, we usually think of rewards in terms of material things and possessions. In school, we were taught and rewarded by a grade. In doing a good job, we expect to be rewarded by money. A performer is rewarded by applause. Olympians are rewarded by a gold medal. And even politicians are rewarded by being elected. Almost everything we do carries with it some kind of material or acknowledged symbolic reward. You know, in the Old Testament, it was quite common to see a theology of earthly and material rewards given by God when somebody lived a virtuous life. These rewards were tangible and could be seen in material wealth. Therefore, when someone fell short of living God's will, then these earthly things would be unobtainable or taken away by God. Wasn't this the story of Job? In which all his friends told him that he had sinned against God and needed to repent. That's why he was suffering so much. He must have done something wrong, for that was why he was suffering so diligently and so desperately, and why he lost his wealth and standing in society. This was a reward system whose motivation was to gain earthly prestige and wealth. It was an obvious motivation, for it produced acts and deeds which had to be seen and acknowledged by others. This was the Old Testament. The Old Testament reward system was and is the practice and motivational force within mankind, known only in Jesus' day, but today also. But Jesus makes it clear that this was not the reward system he came to proclaim. Jesus clearly states that when the motivation is for self-prestige and earthly gain, then rewards are just that, only earthly rewards, temporary. These rewards are temporary at best and will be destroyed by moths, rust, and deterioration. These are not the rewards of God's eternal love. Just listen. Beware of practicing your piety before others to be seen by them. So whenever you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Do that they may be praised by others. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Jesus is saying that the motivation within these acts is very obvious. And it's also clear that they have already received their reward in the here and now. This was not the reward system which Jesus was talking about in the here and now. Jesus never promised earthly rewards for being his followers. Never did he. In fact, he emphasized just the opposite. Take up your cross and follow me. Sell all your possessions and give to the poor. To his disciples, he said, you received without payment. Give without payment. No, the rewards Jesus offered were the rewards far beyond which earthly rewards can offer. The rewards of the life in Christ are of the spiritual world, which cannot be destroyed. These rewards offer fulfillment and meaning to life, for his message was the reward of the fulfillment of love. It is said that to love is its own reward. That may fall a little short, for unfulfilled love is not complete. Fulfilled love is completed when it is accepted, and better yet, when it is returned. Fulfilled love then has its rewards. Therefore, it must be said that love is motivated by seeking fulfilled love, or the rewards of love. It is this fulfilled love which Jesus came to offer as our reward for living the love of God. Therefore, the life of love is motivated by wanting to live completely in this eternal love of God. To be motivated in this way does not need to be recognized or rewarded by any kind of earthly or material gains. To be motivated through the realization of the reward of God's love does not call for human praise, for the outward show of piety. The reward of living God's love is not motivated out of the need for human praise and recognition. How many times do we see people after doing an act of kindness or an act of giving? How many times do we see people let it be known to everybody what they have done? They proclaim their own righteousness in order to elevate themselves above others. Or how about those who display outlandish piety in places where they know they will be applauded, but at other times do just the opposite? It becomes hypocritical piety. Such human action can lead one to question the motives. To be driven by the reward of fulfilled love does not need any kind of recognition of prestige, nor any kind of accomplished grade, nor any kind of monetary or material gain. The reward of knowing and experiencing returned love is the gain, and which has nothing to do with earthly substance. The reward which Christ proclaimed is the reward of living in the eternal presence of God's love. This not only means in the future, but in the here and now. When we are motivated by love in our relationships and deeds, then we are blessed to receive the experience of God's love. Not being motivated by the praise or material rewards, but being motivated by seeking a fulfilled love, then we will begin to experience the reason for the cross and the resurrection. You know, life has its own rewards, but God's love gives us a reward of an eternity fulfilled love. The motivation which drives our lives is what is determined in the fact of the rewards we receive and their eternal consequences. We are told, your Father sees in secret. That will be your reward. We are now entering the Lenten season, during which we are to spend time in reflecting upon who we are. Who we are in relationship to this God of love. And whether our lives are so motivated as to seek fulfillment of this love by the way we are motivated to live our everyday lives. When we so reflect upon who we are, then we are able to find the true joy in the celebration of the resurrection, for in it is the fulfillment of God's eternal love. That's the message of the resurrection. That's what we are preparing for. And as we prepare this Lent, we drape the cross with the pall of purple, to be a weekly reminder of this journey of God's love and the fulfillment that we may find through His gift and His grace of eternal love. So we drape the cross.